This weekend is the first National Day of Civic Hacking. The initiative is sponsored by Intel, supported by the White House Office of Digital Strategy and a range of other federal and state agencies and corporations. About 90 hacking events are taking place across the country from Alaska to Florida. The aim, according to the organizers' website, is to promote transparency, participation, and collaboration between governments, companies, and citizens. The American Civil Liberties Union is also taking part by releasing tens of thousands of pages of files detailing torture of detainees by the Bush administration. To tell us more, we're joined by Alex Abdo, staff attorney with the ACLU's National Security Project. Welcome to Free Speech Radio News.
Thanks so much for having me.
When hacking's done for a good cause, it's often about exposing hidden information to hold organizations accountable. You've pointed out that the files government agencies and corporations are opening up to the public are really just practical and uncontroversial information like transit schedules and restaurant inspection documents. Tell us more about the sort of information that is being released here.
Well, I should start by saying that we're excited that the government is promoting National Day of Civic Hacking. It seems like a worthwhile endeavor for government agencies to open up their files to those who want to hack for social good. But when we looked at the files that were being opened up mainly for the public, they were, as you said, files relating to convenience of daily life, things like train schedules, bus routes, and the like.
You said you're pleased that the White House is supporting this National Day of Civic Hacking, but the White House also has a record of aggressively pursuing information against activists, including Aaron Swartz and Jeremy Hammond, who pleaded guilty this week for hacking into the private intelligence company Stratfor. How does the government's definition of a hacker differ from what's seen by the activist community?
Well, I think there are any number of definitions of hackers, but I think like many things, hacking is it's a tool. It's, I think to many people, it's an ethos. It's a way of looking at the world of tinkering and trying to find how things work. And that skill set or that ethos can, of course, be abused. And at times, the abuse can be criminal. But the government, you know, has, of course, abused its prosecutorial discretion at times. And that's something to be wary of. But, you know, for this moment, at least, I think it's worth celebrating the possibilities of good that can come of hacking for social good. And we want to, I think, capitalize on the moment by contributing to.
You're opening up what you call your torture database, which contains tens of thousands of pages of documents obtained primarily through Freedom of Information Act requests. And those documents detail the US government's torture around the world after the September 11 attacks. Can you tell us more about the contents of this archive and what might developers do with it?
So far, we've uncovered about 130,000 to 150,000 pages of the primary source documentation of torture under the Bush administration. Things like legal memos that authorized the CIA to use waterboarding and other enhanced interrogation techniques. Emails sent by FBI agents complaining about and reporting on the abuse that they witnessed at Guantanamo and other detention facilities. Or even things as harrowing as autopsy reports conducted by medical examiners in the Army after detainees died in custody, a number of whom died during or shortly after interrogation. So that there's a broad array of information in our database, and we spent a long time thinking about the categories of information that should be tagged in each of the documents. And we came up with a dozen different categories of metadata tags to allow for very easy searching and indexing of the documents. And that metadata, I think, is very rich and what makes this a unique opportunity for developers. They'll have access not only to the documents themselves, but to the various ways in which we've tagged them all. And we hope that they can use that very rich set of metadata to visualize the documents in an interesting way. So you can imagine someone would look at the ways in which various officials are mentioned over time so you can get a sense of who was involved in the program when, or you can look at the number of incidents involving particular interrogation techniques, how those evolve over time, so you can get a sense of when particular techniques were approved, when they fell out of favor, when they were observed most.
Can you elaborate a little bit more on how you hope this information is going to be converted into something that helps transparency and accountability?
Sure. One of the things we realized a long time ago is that there's no shortage of information, publicly available information about the Bush administration's use of torture and other harsh interrogation techniques. Public awareness of those facts is not where it should be, and I think that's in part because we haven't done our job of making the data as accessible as it should be. And that's in part because, you know, we're lawyers and we're not experts in database management creation in getting this data out there. But we're hoping that others can help us do that, and that's why we're opening up the database to developers.
Alex Abdo, staff attorney for the ACLU's National Security Project, thanks very much for talking with Free Speech Radio News.
Thanks so much for having me.